verse 1. As a reminder, we've got our regular services on Wednesday. We're going to have our fellowship on Friday. And I was talking to Brother Art, and we're kind of thinking, you know, with this whole dessert thing, it doesn't necessarily have to be cookies or something along those lines. You know, chips and salsa, veggie plate, something small. I just don't want a meal. I want it simple. I want it easy. But don't show up with 12 chicken strips that we can throw knives over, right? Something basic that we can sit around and chat a little bit, finger-type food. So if you're sitting there going, well, you know, I'd rather, you know, something a little bit more calorically efficient or something healthier, yes, please, by all means. We want to make sure that we have stuff like that going on. Again, just for the sake of being able to sit and talk, and I hope that you're planning on coming to that, because we're going to be meeting at 7 o'clock on Friday, I am going to go ahead and forego the morning prayer band because I'm already going to be seeing you later on today, or later on Friday, so I figure that that will be sufficient. All right, and if I have to say the word fellowship one more time, I'm pretty sure some of you are going to come for me. So, 2 Kings chapter 23, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Going back to the verse that we are slowly going through in this series, 2 Corinthians 7:11. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful again to be here tonight. Lord, what a wonderful day we had together. Just the food, the spirit, the gifts that we're able to share with the Eckleberries, Lord, just what a wonderful day it is. I pray, Father, that you give us just a little bit more alertness, give us a little bit more energy, that, Father, we may grasp a hold of what you have in your word for us today. Lord, help us to learn just one more lesson about conviction. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, what we are looking at here is the King Josiah. He has found the book. He has read the book. He has cut to the heart. And we've been through this passage before. We've talked about this, where he goes and he gathers everybody together and they read the word of God, and the Spirit's moving among them, and they're excited. And they say, you know what? We're going to listen to God. We're going to obey him. You know, there's that point in conviction where I've not been serving the Lord. I've not been doing my best. I'm going to do better. Well, what we need to do after that is exactly what they do in the following verses. Verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order, this is verse 4, and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. He was not playing around. He burned them. He did not set up a yard sale and sell them. He did not reach out to the other Baal worshipers in other lands and say, hey, would you like to come on over? Have a look at these things that we're pulling out of our temple. You know what? We just don't want to use them anymore. Maybe you get a kick out of them. Now he took them out and he burned them. He did not discuss them. How pagan is this? How much is this for Baal worship? There was no conversation. This was dedicated to Baal. This was dedicated to the groves. This was dedicated to false idols. We're pulling it out of the temple. We're bringing it down here and we're setting it on fire. That is dedication to clearing house. When conviction calls, it is up to us to start clearing house. I want to make you a little bit uncomfortable here for a second. One of the worst things that I would ever have to deal with at work was, number one, evictions, of course, but number two was always bed bugs because people did not know how to act. There was these people, and I can't remember if they got it from a hotel stay or if they got it from having a sleepover over at the house. I can't remember which one they were, but they got it. And they followed every internet remedy you could think of to get rid of the bed bugs. Surprise, none of them worked. They would rub different kind of chemicals. They would rub essential oils. They got lint, those little lint things you throw in the dryer. Put those all over the place. The bed bugs did not care. Right, one point she goes, well, I've made this thing. It's peppermint oil. I put peppermint oil all over the sheets, all over the corner of the beds. Folks, the bed bugs smelled like peppermint oil. Whatever healthy benefits that's supposed to have for you, the bed bugs were enjoying it. All right, it was doing well for them. And finally they came to us and they admitted to it. Hey, listen, we've got this problem. We don't know how to fix it. We don't have a lot of money. What do we do? Now, thankfully, we had a policy. We'll fix it for you. We'll pay for it. As long as you're following the rules, there were rules. As long as you're following the rules, we'll pay for it. It is much easier for me to pay $450 to have a company come out for 6 weeks and treat you than it is for me to treat an entire building. You know what I mean? We're talking, it was just cheaper. Well, there's rules. Rule number one, everything cloth needs to go inside of a garbage bag. Garbage bag, sealed up, tight garbage bag. You're supposed to tie it off in just such a way. Then you're supposed to take those items, take them down to the laundry or take them outside. And then we come in and we do the steam clean. Now, the steam clean is the number one effective way to do it. Too much heat will kill the eggs. It'll also kill the bugs themselves. You'll get rid of about 80% of the population in the first really good steam clean. And then you got some chemical treatments you'll do. If everything goes according to plan, you bag the stuff. We do the steam clean. You take your stuff down to the laundromat. Here is a laundry card that we've got. Dry everything twice. Just run it all through there. Your bedding, your sheeting, whatever. Go to this one. They got the big dryers. They know what we're talking about. Tell them what you're there for. They got a special area for you. Put your stuff in there. Heat it. And then come back in. Leave what you don't need in the bags. Bring out what you do need. And if we can get this done, 3 weeks, you're back to normal life. We went on this cycle for months with these folks. It got bigger and bigger. And they had kids. So they're serious about it. They're upset about it. I'm getting upset about it because it's a lot of money. So finally I had to have the conversation with them. Are you following the rules? So are you bagging up your clothes? Oh, yeah, I bagged up clothes. Okay. Did you bag up your bedding? Oh, yeah, bagged up the bedding. I talked to the exterminator. Do they bag up their stuff? Oh, yeah, every time we go in there, everything they have is bagged up. The couch is stripped all the way down. Everything is bagged up. So I call the guy. I go, hey, listen. I go, did you guys ever go down to the laundromat with the card I gave you to heat and steam treat everything that you've got that would fit into a dryer that would be okay to dry? Well, no. No, we haven't gotten around to that yet. So what I had to explain to him was effectively what you're doing is you're taking the bed bugs. You are hiding the bed bugs. Then when we go, what do? Well, after they leave, we just kind of unpack everything that we need and just lay it out. So we're saving some and then bringing others back out into this less crowded civilization and they're having babies, and they're relaying those eggs, and then they'll pull up that stuff, put it back, and the eggs are still out there, and some of the things are still out there, and they're growing, and they'll die, but we're preserving the stuff. So we're protecting the thing that we're supposed to be killing, right? Well, not on purpose. And that's typically how it goes. Cockroaches, bed bugs, anything that you would find like that. For us, we had a budget for this, for the stuff. And particularly at my last property, our mortgage was paid off. We had money. So if I could do that, that was no big deal. Because my ultimate fear was that somebody would come in with one of those Home Depot treatment things. And you know what those do? Scatters them. They'll go visit your neighbors, build back. You know what I'm talking? Unlike Joe Biden, bed bugs know how to build back better. You know what I mean? Now, why am I telling you this story? Is it to give you insight on bed bugs? No. The point is this, is that we do this with our sin. We protect some sins. We don't talk about it. We don't make a big deal about it. We're not purposeful about it sometimes. But that sin's bad. This sin is really bad. But I kind of want to hang on to these ones. Well, this is my favorite stuffed toy. Yeah, but it's covered in bed bugs. Yeah, but it's my favorite. This is my pillow. I can't sleep without my pillow. Well, put it down in the dryer. No, I don't have time for that. We hang on to things. The king here, he didn't have time to hang on to things. God's judgment was coming down on him. He's looking at that book. He knew every bit where they had gone off. And he's reading this thing, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And in the very temple of the Lord, they had other gods. Oops. Some of us were like that. We've got God. We come to church. We serve him. We tithe. We give extra. We put in a little bit of elbow grease. We'll pop something in the oven for the church. We will put it all in. But we've got gods where God is. And they take all different kinds of forms. The very simplest definition I've ever heard is anything that I put between me and God is an idol. Anything that takes from me more than is beneficial to me is an idol. Anything that I'm willing to protect but does nothing for me is an idol. Isn't that exactly what an idol was? They'd sit there and they got the groves. Those groves didn't do anything. Those groves didn't hear. Those groves didn't think. Those groves didn't care. Baal didn't care. He couldn't hear. He was a fake thing. They gave everything to him. For Molech, they were sliding their babies down that chute into the fire. Molech never did a thing for them. But in their perception, in their mind, it was part of their it was part of the other cultures. It was part of the popularity. It was part of the modern day thing. But folks, we sabotage conviction when we don't do a thorough clearing of our lives. We need to remove all remnants of that sin. We need to look for other sins that are dirtying up our lives. We protect the sin that is killing us. And we sit there and we ask ourselves questions. Why am I still struggling? Why, you know, maybe this Christian walk ain't for me because I can't have certain things and I struggle to do other things. Well, here's the thing. You're not going to fly holding on to too much weight. As the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. God goes one way. The flesh goes another. I can't do both. And typically, we'll go for the one that gives us the little, woohoo, the quick little dopamine surge. Right? I want to feel good. I want to fit in. I want to do this. I want to do that. And sometimes it's not about culture around us. Sometimes it's just about what's inside of us, anger, irritation, fear, whatever it is that we give in to sin for. We ask ourselves, why do I struggle? Why can't I get rid of these sins that are besetting me? More often, it's because we didn't clear them all the way out. Children of Israel were told to completely clear out all the people in the promised land. And they failed. And you know what that failure brought them to? This moment and many more like it, where they had held on to treasures that they shouldn't have touched, where they bought into philosophies and ideas that they shouldn't have had any part of. If we are not clearing ourselves when conviction hits, well, I just assume that conviction never happened. Because if we don't clear it all the way out, it will, of course, come back in. So the very first thing we want to do is this. What did the king do here? The king immediately dives in and he starts cleaning, and he cleans out in the most aggressive way possible. I'm going to burn it outside. Then I'm going to take those ashes and I'm going to get rid of those ashes. I want it gone. Well, no, come on. There's clearly got to be a little room. No. To be fed up with something is to be fed up with it. Can I ask you a question? I know we're a little bit tired. I know we're going, you know, we're getting ready to go. But pop a hand up if you'd like 3 bed bugs in your house. If I could just bring, I got 3 bed bugs looking for a home. Anybody want them? No. Okay. Hey, how about this? I've got a little cockroach in a container. There's about 3 or 4 cockroaches in this little habitat. I'm going on vacation. Does anybody want them? Just a heads up, the latch is a little tricky. No. We wouldn't want those things anywhere near a house. Keep your termite farm at home. As a matter of fact, we want them far from our houses. We want them as far away from us as possible. We'd have people come in to talk to me about their bed bug treatment, and they'd be standing right on top of my desk, and everything in me would be like, why don't we back up just a little bit? Back up just a little bit. We just went through COVID, didn't we? Hey. I don't care if you're liberal or conservative. I don't care. Either way, you were still sitting there going, ah, you stay over there. I don't care. You stay right over there. Where's our disdain? Where's our desire to completely remove sin and its temptation from our lives? I don't just want it out of my actions. I want it out of my house. I want it out of my reach. I want it so gone, we can't get it back. Verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. Like, you've got to understand how far Israel, yeah, how far these people had fallen. They're not just serving Baal. We always blame it on Baal. But look at that list. They had a sun. They were sacrificing to the sun gods, to the moon god. They were giving away to this and to that. They would have high places, and you'd go up into these high places, and you'd, I almost stood up on top of that. It was there. Brought it back. There were these high places that would burn the incense. Oh, this is to the sun god. The sun god would go to bed for a while, and here would come the moon god, and we would burn incense to the moon god. We would have gods of all different kinds of animals, and they would sit there, they would have those, and they were worshiping those. They would always be burning incense to the different gods to show we are inclusive. We love all the gods. Folks, the Christian life is supposed to be restrictive on purpose. Because the moon god never once cared. The sun god never once cared. And we'll go into a little bit more about what they would do, but they got deep into the astronomy of things, worshiping this astrology, worshiping the things that they would see, denying the very real God that created them. Denying the very real God that created them. And folks, when we sin, that is what we're doing. When we hold back and try to maintain and protect certain sins, we perpetuate the rejecting of our living God. Because God, you are important, but these things are important to me too. We're not supposed to have those things. the drinking, the swearing, the lying, the cheating, the robbing. I mean, come on, let's just keep going. We're not supposed to be anywhere near these things. We're not supposed to have to, we're not supposed to want any part of them, but we hang on to them. Why? Because they are the gods that we rely on when we're in, right? Well, what God do you rely on when you're in trouble? Lying? Well, it's not a God, it's just a reaction. No, you got in trouble. God said, don't do it. But instead of going to your living God, you went to lying. You chose that over God. That's your new God now. Congratulations, get some incense on the way home. Right? What do we do when things aren't quite right there at work? Well, we'll cheat a little bit just to get ahead. We'll borrow a little bit from here. We'll misrepresent that. Did you see the last president? They fired the last president of Disney because the balance sheets were just a little wonky. I was reading last night, just they were talking about how one of the things that he would do is he would shift some of the costs from these Disney Plus shows into other things so that Disney Plus looked like it was making more money, when in all actuality it was losing billions. Whoops. Well, what'd you do that for? Well, I was in trouble, so I just did a little fancy accounting to make it look okay, to make it look all right. Was it the truth? No. Did you cheat to get investors on board? Yes. Did you cheat to get more shows onto the thing? Yes. Now what happened? Well, now you're fired. But your God, where was your God? Where was that God of cheating and swindling and misrepresentation? Where was he when you're sitting in front of the investors, when you're sitting in front of the board, and the board says, what is this? Where was your God? I mean, come on, take a knife to your arm, scream real loud, do whatever you can to see if Baal will come for you. And he won't. Because he don't care. Our lies care nothing for us. Our cheating cares nothing for us. Our lechery, our debauchery, these things cannot help you. Oh, they'll make you feel good for a second. They'll get you out of a tight spot for a little while. But they can't take you the distance. They can't take you the distance. Anything that we find out of place needs to be gone. As they're looking around, all right, now what about these guys burning incense up here? Well, here's the thing. We ought to know other gods before me. No other gods, right? And, I mean, that's, right, night and day. When was the last time we burnt so much as a candle in the temple to the Lord? When was the last? I don't, get it down. Clear it out. And we need to be as direct with it as possible. Anything that's out of place. Now, sometimes we'll sit there and say, sin is a problem. Sometimes it's not just sin. Sometimes it's a completely good thing that we've put into a bad place. That we put into a bad place. Sports is one of those things, you know. We absolutely love sports. I love watching sports. We love to compete in sports here or there. But I tell you what, if sports is keeping you out of church, you got a sports problem. I know. I knew kids that grew up, and that was number one. Right? When travel ball hit, we were travel balling. Right? If travel hockey season came in, we were out travel hockeying. And you never see them in church, and you never, and after a while they grew up and they learned something very valuable to them when they were kids, and that is God is optional. Not a single one of those trophies is going to get them to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I wish I got a couple trophies growing up. Can you tell I'm a little envious? Trophies are nice, I'm sure. But they can't help you. Trophies won't teach you how to live. Being the captain of something sure is a good experience. Sure teaches you some things. But it won't give you a godly life. It won't get you to hear that well done. It won't. What we put before God. There was a guy I knew one time. Because, you know, we kind of had to hurry up and hustle around some things. He's no longer a member of the church there at Flat Rock, but we had to hustle around a little bit because he just didn't show up one day. And the day that he didn't show up, he said he was sick, and oh man, we were praying for him, and we gave him, I called him, hey, how you doing? Just praying for you. He was out golfing. Man, I hope you sliced one into the water. I do. That's not nice to say. It's not. But I said it. Listen, we can't put things between us and God. Because you know what I've noticed? God has a way for those that he's chastening to reach down and mess with that thing. The children of Israel, as God was trying to get them out of Egypt, he sent down curses specifically aimed at very well-respected and loved gods that the Egyptians had. That's what he messed with. I've seen that happen today. Oftentimes, the sins that the child of God will have, the issues that they have will be the very thing that undoes them, that God uses. We need to make sure that we put nothing between us and God. Anything out of place is out of here. Any bad influence is out here. Look what they did to the priests. Do you think they played around with the priests? Nope. You're out of here. Well, that's harsh. No, not really. Because you know what that priest is going to keep doing? Listen, if we go ahead and we just cancel their services, we take down their altars, we get rid of that, these priests are now jobless. And something that we've learned about some of these false religionists, they don't like that. So they'll go out and they'll start influencing. That's how the trouble happened in the first place. They began influencing people back in. I've got very little time for those that influence others for causes that are not for Christ. I've got very little patience for it. Well, hey, I tell you what, listen, why don't you come on over and we'll show you. I know you do this at your church, but why don't you come on over? You know, you got to have an open mind. You got to try different things. No, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hear you out. You go ahead and you talk, but it better back up in the Bible and you better use the Bible to explain it to me or I don't want to have any part of it. Well, now, Matt, no. Right now, you tell me. We need to be direct. Try not to let things influence you. And I tell you what, sometimes we're influenced by things we don't even know we're being influenced by. Right? Was that one comedian? We went to go see that one comedian, and he tried out different jingles, right? And he goes, ba da ba ba ba, and everybody, I'm loving it. And different jingles. That I sat there and I thought about that for a second. That stuff really gets in, doesn't it? I mean, that is a whole psychology. It is a whole study of thought. You really look at sales and you really look at marketing. They really know how to sink that stuff down into us. The vain philosophers, the entertainers, they know how to make what they're selling look good. But you know what they don't know how to do? Make sin actually good. They can't do it. McDonald's could put trillions of dollars into marketing, and a Big Mac will still try to kill you. It's a fact, right? You think about McDonald's, you go anywhere on the planet, and people know McDonald's, Golden Arches. But a chicken nugget is still hard to describe. What is that in there, right? It is flavor. And gristle. It's weird. It's weird. We can do the best we can to make good bad things look good, but you can't make a bad thing good. You can't. Once the rot has gone in, once the mold is there, there's absolutely nothing you can do to fix it. Any bad influence in your life needs to go. Needs to go. Verse 8. And he brought all of the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the son with fire. Any ungodliness is out of here. Any ungodliness is out of here. There was a man gave a testimony. He says, the day I was saved, I went home. And the very first thing I did was I went into my garage. And I took down the calendar. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. Took down the calendar. I went over to this sign that had some profanity that I had up in my garage. And I took it down. I went into my room and I went for the magazines. I went over to the movie rack and I pulled out movies. And I went over to the television and I unplugged the television and I took the television down to the basement. The day he was saved, he cleared house. Because casual ungodliness is not casual ungodliness. Things will influence you. If I am to have a clean mind and a clean heart, I must find myself in a clean environment. Which means I've got to stop laying around the filth. If I'm going to change the way that I look at this world, I need to change the way I look at the people. So the magazines, the calendars, the things like that, they're coming down. And I'm not going to give them to my brother. I'm not going to give them to the guy down the road. I'm going to put them in a barrel container and I'm going to burn them. Because they don't deserve existence. I'm going to be careful with what I watch. I'm going to be careful with what I listen to. I'm going to be careful with what I play a part in. Any ungodliness needs to come out. Now, if you look at what it's saying here, there's two things that were interesting. Well, there's a lot that was interesting, but two things that catch my attention with what we're talking about was the horses that were given to the sun god. Now, the sun god that they had, or they were giving to the sun as they were worshiping the sun like a god, there was a very interesting, very ornate ritual that would take place with horses and chariots, and they would create this beautiful show. And I tell you what, that'd be interesting to watch. I would love to see something like that with chariots and horses. That'd be a fun thing to watch. But it was dedicated to the sun as a god. So you know what they said? Nah, we'll take that back. I'm not investing. I'm not giving into false religion either. I'll tell you this, we need to be real careful with what we do with our dollars. When we're buying stuff, when we're participating in things, when we're viewing things, when we're watching things, really what we're doing is we're helping to promote them. We're helping to promote them, right? Well, you know, we went in and we were watching this, and really it's a kid's show. You know, we did that with Disney Plus. I picked on Disney Plus earlier on. I'll pick on Disney Plus a little bit again. I still have one. But you know, we'll see how long they stay in business, being $9 billion in the hole. But you start out with Disney. Oh, I love Disney. Oh, it's got all the old Hun look. It's got all the old cartoons. There's Snow White. There's Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, Pete's Dragon. Oh, look, this is nice. In the last year, they started putting rated R. And rated mature videos on there that Disney owns. And you just got to click a button to get that available to you. And the thing is, that sometimes the kids know how to get that and the adults have no idea what that is. So you're sitting there in your basement watching this movie that mom and dad would never let you watch, but it's on Disney. So we're good. I struggle with that now. You know, I was just kind of looking into some stuff. I saw that, like, so I could sit there and I could watch this awful movie on here. Well, if I give you a dollar for Pete's Dragon, if I give you a dollar for Toy Story, that same dollar is going over here to pay for this bloody, awful, horrible worded movie that you guys got going on. We got to be what I pay into is what I pay into. We get caught up in this. People will create something just to irritate people, and they'll put it out on the internet. And they know it's going to irritate people. And what are people going to do when they're irritated? I'm going to talk to you about it. And you're like, no, there's no way. And you'll look it up. Maybe not you, but you'll look it up. And all of a sudden, now it's got two views. And we're both kind of irate about it. So we talk about it. And then somebody goes, no. And I'm like, you got seven or eight people. We got thousands of people just hate watching something. Be careful what you put your vote towards. That person goes out, they do it again. Why? Because I just made a ton of money. YouTube kind of works like that. You get a certain amount of change for every view that you watch if you can put ads onto it, right? If they're able to put ads on it, you'll get some money on it. So something like we'll watch something 5 million times that absolutely turns us insane. We'll get mad about it. And we'll watch it and watch it. And guess what? That guy gets paid. Why? Because the commercials for Polaris and all the different things that will pop up, they're paying in. This guy makes some money. Oh, we need to be careful. Be careful, because we vote with our dollars. We vote with our views. We vote with our participation in things. I was kind of laughing at Brother Mark's devotion this morning. You know, talking about Twitter. These liberal people, oh, you're taking away our free speech. And they're saying it in Twitter. I'm getting off this app. They say on Twitter, not leaning over to your spouse going, hey, I'm getting off this thing. No, I'm going to tweet about not tweeting anymore. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right? I've taken up a new saying. I'll say this to Danielle every now and then. Something will happen. I'm like, oh, we got to leave this world behind. We got to leave this world behind. We're doing stuff. It's not normal stuff. We're doing weird people stuff. And the ungodliness, we're out of here. We're done with it. Okay? Now what else did he do? He didn't just tear down false idols. It said literally, let me get back to it. He defiled Topheth. Defiled, ruined it to the point to where it wouldn't be any good anymore. Ruined it. He did that to the altars in the high places, tore those down, defiled this and that to where you could not ever go back to it. Right? Literally raised it to the ground. It would never be of any good to you anymore. Sometimes we need to knock things plumb out of our reach. We need to make sure we can't get it back again. You ever do that when you're in the car? Maybe get a little bag of chips. Well, we'll do this with the men's fellowship. Somebody, hey, brother, take this home to your kids. I put that in the far back of the car. Because I'll be sitting there at the, you know, we'll get a train here every now and then. A little snack. You know, a little snack. Right? The wife sends, or somebody sends you out, and you go to the fast food, and there's the food right there. Couple fries. Up, red light, couple fries. There's that train again. Fries. You get home, all of a sudden there's four kids. Where's my fries? I can't believe they undercut us on the fries. Do you want to call them? No, that's one answer I already know. That's one answer I already know. What happened to those? Could you imagine getting some poor kid at McDonald's fired because you ate all the fries on the way home? I think that'd be a miserable kind of person. I don't know. That'd be rough. I wouldn't be happy with that. But, hey, we need to tear down the idols. We need to get things far from our reach to where it takes some effort to get back to it. You guys, you hear that story about Josh Duggar. Josh Duggar got in trouble in a lot of different ways. He was doing some awful things at home with his siblings. He was doing some awful things in his marriage. Finally, what they got him was some awful things that he was doing on the internet. And what happens is after he got in trouble with his wife for having an affair and having an application to allow him to have an affair or help him have an affair, I guess, they installed something on the phone to where everything he did on the phone she could see. He just got another phone. Just got another phone. Listen, if you can't be trusted with the phone, don't have a phone. What is it that the Lord said? If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offends you, cut it off. Because it's better to get into heaven missing an eye or an arm than it is for you to give your life to these sins. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Now, me personally, if I have a choice between my eye and my hand and something in my life I shouldn't have, I'd much rather get rid of it. Much rather cut that out. Right? Set up walls. Set up barriers. Don't just remove the false idols. Ruin their ability to come back. Ruin their ability to come back. And we need to do this with an attitude of, I'm going to do what I've got to do, no matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. I'm not going to fool with this anymore. If I've got to have a whole parade, if we've got to get every priest involved, if we've really got to fight for this thing to get this out of our lives, we're doing it. No matter what it takes. Yeah, but won't that make things a lot more boring? I don't know. You find stuff to do. Hey, can we do this? It's a little arm thing again. Anybody here, you don't do things a lot, like you don't watch a lot of television, you don't stare at your phone a lot. Right? Nobody. Everybody does those things. Raise your hand if you don't do a lot of those things. Okay? You don't do a lot. Do you find stuff to do? Yeah, stuff to do. You stay busy? It's possible. It's possible. For those of you that don't go to the bars and don't go to the this and that and you're not hanging out over here, you got stuff to do? How do you people have fun without completely deadening your senses? Well, I still do it. I still do it all the time. I don't want to say I got in trouble, but I got real nervous. I told you guys earlier today, Danielle let me go out to sent me out to the store, gave me a list, get these things, right? And I got those things. I did a good job. A good job? I did a good job. You know what that means to me. I was driving home, and I saw a sign, and that sign said, Christmas yard sale this way, 11:25. It was 11:25. Not in the morning, but it was 11, you know, November 25th. So I went over, I took a look at it. You know, we got a house, we want to decorate the house. We want to see what we got. I pulled up to it, didn't have a lot of things in there that I liked. Didn't have anything really that I was willing to reach for my wallet for. So I was walking out and I got to talking to the guy because I like to talk to people. He goes, hey, listen, you know, if you're looking for a yard decoration, I've got this deer out there. It doesn't light up. He said they don't really light up all the way, but I've got them out there. Come on, take a look. And I do remember seeing a deer on my way in. So we walk out, and he shows me this deer. And it, sure enough, the legs don't light up on one side, but I know how to fix that pretty well. And all right, fine. Well, how much? He says, it's free. All right, well, I'll take your free deer. And you know how sometimes the word deer means one? And you know how other times the word deer means eight? This was one of those cases where deer meant eight. I grabbed the deer and I put him up in the van, and the guy was behind me and he had two deer. And I went back and there was two more deer, two deer. And after a while, we filled up the entire inside of the van and the back of the van. And I'm nervous. And I go in and I give Danielle a speech. They were free. Don't panic. Don't get mad. I laughed all day. Sure enough, I got all the deer put together. I'm slowly fixing the wiring on some of them. I'm having a good old time. I am laughing. I can do that stuff without drinking. Matt will loosen you up, help you have some fun. Oh no, you don't have to lead me to that temptation. I will have fun without it. I'm sitting there chuckling to myself, laughing at these stupid light-up deer. There was more than a few of them that's head moved. No lights, but the head moved. I'm like, man, if the motor works, I can take it from here. Just laughing. Did you have fun today? I had a good day. You asked me how my Sunday went. I had a good day. I had a real good day with you folks. Real good day. I do not need my face to be buried in something. I don't need my brain to be marinating in something. I don't need to lie, cheat, steal, sin to have myself a real good time. A real good time. Yeah, but you don't have the kind of fun I do. Hey, listen, some of us like to have the fun where we're not covered in vomit at the end of the night, where I'm not empty walleted and full Instagrammed. Hey, you remember what you did last night? I like to have the kind. You want to wake up in a dumpster in an alley you've never been in before. If that's fun for you, you're right. Yeah, I've never done that. Nothing I do will involve that, hopefully. Right? But I have a lot of really good memories. A lot of fun that I have. No matter what it takes, I'm getting rid of that stuff. Getting rid of that stuff. And I don't care how popular it is. Oh, that's kind of weird. What kind of cult are you in that you don't drink? Or no, they don't say you don't. You can't drink. What do you mean I can't? You know, if I'm sitting there and I grab a beer, is my pastor or a deacon going to jump up from behind the bar and slap it out of my hands? Of course you can. God will punish you if you do it. It'll hurt your life if you do it. Well, you're those people that can't swear. Oh, no, you can. There's a lot of Christians, at least people say they're Christians, go out there, they got foul mouths. But you can't have a testimony while you do it. Can't be in God's good graces while you do it. You're inviting His chastisement when you do it. Right? That's the difference. Well, can't. Of course you can. You just recognize that it'd be the dumbest thing on earth for you to do. Just recognize that it'd be foolish to partake in it. Doesn't matter how popular something is. Doesn't matter how unpopular your decision is to serve the Lord. We're talking about you and your spiritual health. Talk about you and your spiritual health. You know, being this size, you get a lot of people who want to give you advice. Oh, you know what you need to do? You need to do this diet, that diet. You need to eat this, not eat that. Okay, thank you. And then you get other people. Yeah, you need to be proud of your body. Stay the way you are. Don't lose weight. Da, 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 da. My aunt asked me, she goes, are you reducing? I go, what? My mind immediately went to like recycling, reducing, reusing, recycling. I go, well, no, I mean, we recycle what we can. I don't understand. Like she goes, well, I don't like to use the phrase losing weight because it's got a stigma to it. Not with me, right? You either can tie your shoes without help or you can either tie your shoes without help or you can't. You see, we play games. I want to make sure that what I say is popular, what I do is popular. Listen, this is about my health. If it offends you that I'm going to walk more spiritually, that's your problem, man. That is your problem. If what I'm going to do interrupts the beer league, if what I do is going to interrupt the rated R slasher horror film fic night because I'm not there, I'm sorry you're so dependent on me. But I ain't coming. I ain't going to have anything to do with it. Why? Because clearing house means more to me than whatever it is that's dirtying it up. And we want to do this no matter what it's worth. No matter how much the thing we're clearing out is worth. If I give this up, right? If I give this up, this is going to affect my friendships if I don't do this. Then you need to really look at the value of your friendship if you've got to participate in this or that in order to keep that friend. I question their loyalty to you if it comes with conditions. Right? If I do this, I spent a lot of money on this. You don't understand. I put a lot of money into the operation here. Really, I get a lot of money from this operation here. I don't care. You're making a choice. You're selling your spiritual health for money. Literally selling your spirit for money. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Oh, You know, what I like to do is I like to go out on the Harley, and it's hard for me to get out on the Harley without finding myself down at the biker bar, having a quick drink and a smoke, sell the bike. Whoa, wait, now wait a minute. If you can't, by real definition, C-A-N apostrophe T, if you can't get on it without ending up there, sell the bike. Somebody might sit there and go, all right, well, fine. I'm cured. I can go ride without going either. All right, well, praise the Lord. Ride on. Use a helmet. You know, faces don't heal the way they should. You know what I'm saying? Just careful. You lose your nose in a bike wreck, it don't grow back. No, it's just whatever it's worth. If it's getting between you and God, you need to get rid of it before God takes it. Before God takes it. I'll tell you one more story. I was doing dog training with a guy. And every time I came in, well, I'd be in the classroom already. He'd come in. He'd go like this. He'd bring a special stool he could sit on. And I never asked because it was always a crowded class. One day we had a snowstorm. It was just me, him, and his wife. And I asked. I go, hey, do you mind if I ask you about what's going on with the stool? He goes, oh, I didn't think to ask. I just thought, oh, no. What? He was in a motorcycle accident. Driving down the road, a semi-truck came over without seeing him. He had to swerve out, lost the bike, skidded. Pants gone, just bare skin on the turf, shredded him. He couldn't walk for years. Took him years to get to where he could learn to walk again. And I asked him, I go, what's the takeaway from that? Like, you have this big event. What's the takeaway? I go, did you stop riding bikes? Did you stop going out on the freeway? What'd you do? He goes, for the longest time, I couldn't go near a bike. He goes, but I got back on it, and I rode it. But I never rode down that patch of road again. I never rode up next to a semi-truck again. Completely changed the way I rode the bike. I never used to wear a helmet, because now I put a helmet on. What happened was he did things his way, the way he wanted to. No protective covers on his legs, nothing to protect his head. He gets into one accident, he's able to walk away from it. His life changes. So I go, wow. I go, okay, so a lot has changed. She goes, what I wish is that I was doing then what I'm doing now. Folks, many of us, we have that great opportunity to do the right thing before the bad thing happens. Oh, you look like a square doing that. Yeah, but I'd rather crash like this than to burn like that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given us so much escape from our temptation. You've given us the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin. I just ask this, Father, that you continue to convict us. Help us to go the full distance when we're in these situations. Help us, Lord, to not just be careful, but Lord, to clear everything out of our lives that would pull us away from you. Help us to be strong in the day of temptation. Help us to look critically at the things that are in our lives and know what should stay and what absolutely has to go. Let us make no apologies. Let's not count the cost in these things. But Father, let's just get rid of them out of our lives, much like the king did for the nation. They're just tearing down all the idols. Father, you are the one true God, and we serve you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 158.